all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 75 of American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Today, we have Robert Griswold on with us from Ready Made Resources. Before we go to Bob, we're going to talk about some advertisements. So we have Steve Quayle and his Renaissance Precious Metals. Obviously, there is turmoil in the world. The gas prices are rising. Food prices are rising. I can't believe that the American dollar is viewed at 98 cents. But eventually, that's not going to last. So while you have the chance, grab hard assets that you can put in your safe or on your person. If prophecy hits the fan and you're not prepared, what will you buy? What will you have to use for currency? Around the world, people use their body for currency. People use their children for currency. People will do very, appalling things to feed themselves. Don't ever put yourself into the place where we eventually may be going. I would strongly advise you visit Steve Quayle's website, visit the precious metals part, the Renaissance Precious Metals, call Steve and find out what's available and get gold and silver while it's still available. Also, while you're there, check out some of Steve's amazing videos. Some of my favorite videos that he has is Yellowstone is just a distraction. Cascadia is the big one. It is a absolutely phenomenon. When you talk about this type of a documentary, just to see how much of a problem tectonically we have on the Pacific side, the western side of the United States. Check that movie out. Also, mega drought. That's another very key thing. And he has plenty of books that goes along with this. He has plenty of DVDs that go along with it. Steve is a nonchalant kind of guy, but he's a no-mess-around kind of guy when it comes to his information. Everything in there that he has is very highly accurate, educationally based, historically based education. It's not full of fluff. You know, it's what you need to know to be prepared, better prepared, for the times that come. Next, we have mountain-steak-survival.com. Visit Jeff's website and start buying your preparatory needs now while you have the time. Ladies and gentlemen, if we get into a no-joke all-out war with Russia, which, hey man, we may go on that route pretty soon, they can easily cut the communication lines, take down the internet, and now you have nothing. All right? While you have the chance, instead of spending your money on the big box stores and the big billion-dollar companies, support small, patriotic-owned businesses like Jeff's website, mountain-steak-survival.com. He has a new thing that's called a survival bucket, where you get a large bucket and you get to handpick what you want to go into it. If you have any problems, give Jeff a call or email him. Then we have My Patriot Supply. You can go through AmericanVindictaShow.com. Go to our links. It's right there on the front. Click on My Patriot Supply, and you'll be able to go straight to their website. Everything that you purchase from their website prepares you, but it also helps to fund this show. I get a 10% commission from everything that you buy. So please help me to help you every day that you go by life and you don't prepare. Will be one extra day taken off your life when bad things come. You don't think I'm, if you think this is fluff, you think I'm lying about it, you're not looking at history accurately. If you are not prepared, bad things happen to these type of people, all right? And we're all going to suffer through this eventually, but at least be prepared while you have the chance. Finally, we have Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources. If you need night vision, if you need rad detectors, if you need ballistic helmets, if you need to learn how to better prepare yourself, your family, based off your locality, based off the seasons, if you have no idea what you're doing, you're completely new at this, and you just stumbled upon this crazy prepper movement, Bob Griswold is probably one of the leading experts in the United States that you can call. He will talk to you. He won't talk down to you. And he is a genuine, patriotic, God-loving man, and he is here on our side fighting on our side to make sure that we are all prepared accordingly. Bob, thank you for coming on today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Doug. You know, you were talking about the gold and silver earlier. We just, what's already, what, $260 a year this year. You know, as I mentioned last time, if you had $1,000 in your wallet at January 1st and, you know, 10 $100 bills, and you'd kept them in there, today that would be worth about $800 in buying power compared to what it was just a few months ago. If you had taken that $1,000 and bought gold with it at that time, you'd have about $1,300 in buying power. So, I mean, you can make the decision. It's up to you. I mean, this is it's always a personal decision. You know, our government has so indoctrinated us into, you know, that they'll take care of us. They'll wound a tomb. All the things, you know, we take care of people. But that's not the way the real world works. And I was watching, I won't say it, it was a series the other day, and it was a good series, you know, about, you know, crime fighting and some other stuff. And there was a, like a 105-pound girl on there. There's no offense, but, you know, she was real bold and said, you know, I don't need any help, all this. Yeah, you do. She can be that way in that movie because there's strong men out there, and I know I'll offend somebody, but there's strong men out there making her so she can do what she do. You have no idea what happens. I've seen it. When the rule of law breaks down, or if you have a nation that's basically a failed state, or a nation where, you know, they don't enjoy the Christian values we have, weak people are preyed on. They are. They're preyed on. It's just you're not a person. You're a commodity. You're a form of currency, like you said. It's absolutely true. And I can tell you, you know, you're some young mother with children, and you go, can you give me some food? Yeah, I'll give you some food. Yep. Yeah, you're going to have to earn it. And yep. I'll leave that where it's at. Why be there? You know, we serve a very benevolent God. He's gracious and merciful. To those who follow him, he gives wisdom and knowledge. And when we have that, he gave it to Joseph. He gave it to Noah. You know, he told people in Jerusalem, when you see it surrounded about by armies, he didn't tell them to go get a lawn chair and set it on top of your house and watch the apocalypse. He said, get out of there. He warns us of hard times coming. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, God, how God treats nations that obey his law and how God treats nations that are lawless. And it's catastrophic. If you read Deuteronomy 28, I encourage people to do it, you're going to see all the curses that come upon a nation that forsake the Lord God Almighty have hit the United States right now. So we are under judgment, and it's going to get worse. I mean, I remember a story. I was about 7 years old. In 1962, Cuban Missile Crisis. I still have the vivid memories of my mom and dad hugging each other. My mom had tears in her eyes because my dad was on a destroyer back then in the Navy. And, you know, we didn't know how it was going to end. We didn't know how it was going to end. But nuclear war, I mean, we'd gone to DEFCON 2. We went to DEFCON 2 quickly the other night. I think we're at DEFCON 3 right now. But this is imminent. We don't know what's going to happen there. You know, rational heads are not thinking right now on any side. You know, it's situation is out of control. I don't care how evil Vladimir Putin is and what's going on. Let's try to de-escalate this. Yeah, let's try to put the thing back in the – it might be too late. I don't know.
There's been no real hard reach at diplomacy. Instead, we have a bunch of knuckle – thumping, you know, saber rattling, chest pounding politicians in America and throughout Europe who are promoting war now at this point. Because if you're not trying to de-escalate, if you're not trying to meet Russia at the negotiation table, then you're promoting.
Yeah, they're calling him a war criminal. Once he becomes a war criminal, he has nothing to lose. Nothing. He'll be arrested by The Hague, put on trial, and probably sentenced to death. Once you do that, you've crossed the Rubicon, buddy. I don't care if every demon in hell inside of him, and probably half of them are. But do I want to start World War III over this and kill hundreds of millions of people? No. Let's de-escalate it. Kamala Harris, I can't believe her. You know, I don't know if you saw the quote, and I'm not kidding. This is what she said. Speaking before the Security Council, Russia is a very big country. Ukraine is a small country in Europe. Big countries should not invade little countries, maybe, I think. You can go listen to her. That's what she said.
Yeah, that, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know, Bob, if she was trying to be a smartass. I don't know if she was just trying to be sarcastic.
I mean, I think, take the first one away, I think you can't relate the word smart to her. I mean,
well, so, you know, here's the thing. You can't be a cackling, bumbling idiot.
Eye roller. Cackling eye roller.
Yeah, and then try to purportedly broadcast the power and wealth of the United States to your enemies and look like a moron. The most powerful person on earth is the United States president. The second most powerful person on earth is the vice president. Right now, one of the stupidest politicians on earth is the president, who's the most powerful person on earth, and one of the most inept, corrupt politicians on earth is his second in command, the vice president. We are screwed if we get into an actual war.
She actually got on TV and said it in front of a camera. Well, let's just bring Ukraine into NATO. I mean, excuse me, but why don't you pee in his face? I mean, I know this is a family program, so forgive me. But, I mean, you might as well. Don't do this, please, for humanity's sake. Vladimir Putin is not a good guy. I know he's not a good guy. I'm not his apologist. But do I want to start World War III over it? No. There's maybe still, I hope so, a window of opportunity to de-escalate this. But calling him a war criminal and escalating like that, because, you know, if I've murdered somebody and have a death sentence on me, Doug, what happens if I rack up 50 more? What, are they going to drag my body and electrocute it 50 times? No, I'm dead once. That's all. De-escalate this. Let's find a way out of it. But if it doesn't, you know, I'll tell you, and I said this last time, these people have a cult of death. I mean, they can murder children in the womb. They can murder children out of the womb. They can drink the children's blood. I mean, pedophilia in this nation is at pandemic. It's in Ukraine, pedophilia, child sex trafficking is the largest country in Europe for child sex trafficking. I mean, these people, they have a cult of death. They have no problem with what's going on right now because it's driven by Lucifer. And so when I say this, when they talk about the Great Reset, you know, build back better, well, what are you trying to build back? If you had to build back better, you have to tear something down first. You know,
you can't build anything back from nuclear fire.
Yeah, I know. If I want to build my house back better, I think I got to tear my house down first. So what do they want to tear down to build back better? This is what it is. See, this is Luciferian talk. This comes straight from the mind of Satan. We in the Bible are told there's the great tribulation coming, where God is going to pour out his wrath on all humanity because of their rebellion against him. The redeemed will be the redeemed. We will be redeemed from this. But the unbelieving, the wicked, are going to have this horrible wrath poured out on them. So what does Satan do? He comes up with a twist on it called the Great Reset, where he promises utopia. Because he has to, he knows what's coming, but he wants to deceive humanity. The great utopia, promises are coming. And I tell people, when Hitler's armies first went into Russia, they were welcomed as rescuers. They hated the Bolsheviks. And so with the promise of liberation from communism, Hitler's armies went in there. Well, it wasn't long before utopia turned into hell. And the true nature of Hitler's armies came out. And they were murdering thugs. And that's the story. So, you know, humanity is going to be brought to war or at war. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to realize, man, the bill of goods we bought, there's a lot of body bags attached to it. This isn't working out the way they said it was. Has anything big government ever promised worked out the way they said it was? No, it works out just the opposite. So if they say, you know, we're going to turn right, figuring I'm turning left. It never works out that way. You look at every branch of government, massive fraud, massive theft, corruption, you know, nepotism. It's all there. Every branch of government, it's there. You know, so the Great Reset, ladies and gentlemen, I think is the Great Tribulation. And they're pushing it right now. So I think either we're in the Great Tribulation or we are headed towards it at breakneck speed. You know, Scotty, more warp power. That's where we're at.
Well, so, I see this as their plan for Agenda 2030. And I think it falls right in line, because I'm under the perception that we're probably going to have a civil war within the next 6 months to a year. That's that. Now, I could be completely wrong. Trust me, I hope I'm wrong. I absolutely don't want to be right. I don't want people emailing me saying, Doug, look, you're right. We are in a civil war. I don't want it to happen, man, at all. I want to be able to continue to live my life.
My God, only a fool wants violence. If you read the Bible, the evil want violence. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. We want to promote peace. You know, it's like I said, I don't care what color you are, because I know we all came from Adam and Eve. So if you have darker skin than me, or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're my brother. If you're in Christ, you're my brother. See, they hate that, because communism needs hate. Christianity promotes love. My brotherly love. And I do. I have brothers of all different persuasions. You know, one of these little child song, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in Jesus' sight. I mean, yeah, that's the way it is. But they promote hate. They need the hate. They need this class envy and all the stuff that you vote, because it's the only way they can build a system of hate. Hate and envy, jealousy, greed, it all comes from it. And James, in the book of James, it tells us where wars come from. It comes from greed. You know, you want and you don't have, so you lust and you take. That's what's going on right now. I mean, you know, it's that's where it's at. And so, you know, we're not going to stop what God has intended. There comes a day when the Lord God Almighty says, I'm going to bring this great tribulation and punish the world. It's coming. My heart longs for what the Bible describes as the millennial kingdom of Jesus, when it says we'll beat our swords into plowshares and our you know, spears into pruning hooks, and man won't learn war anymore. That's where my heart's at. I want that. These people swim in the violence of it, the hate of it. And we see all the worst of humanity. In fact, you know, the Bible talks about human depravity. We are all depraved from being. Man is not basically a good creature. I can prove that by just look. Well, how many years of peace has the world had? None. Somebody's always fighting somebody. And in the times of not fighting, what did I think Einstein say? We're rearming for the next fight. Yeah. So the times of peace are not really times of peace. It's like, well, we got to build more bombs for the next time. So man is basically a depraved being. He is depraved. And war is the greatest expression of that depravity. I mean, because when war happens, lawlessness breaks out. I'm reading right now in the Ukraine, Russian soldiers raping Ukrainian women. Do I think it's happening? I just look at what the Russian soldiers did when they went into Berlin. Oh, my gosh, they said there was 2 million rapes, and there's probably only 500,000 women in Berlin at the time, so you can do the math. Every woman was raped at least 4 times. I mean, yeah, it did happen. That's historic. I mean, women and children, yeah, I feel sorry for both sides of this equation, Doug. The women and children and old people in Ukraine, the women and children in Russia, they don't want this war. I mean, they don't want it. And if we really, really were intent on stopping this war, we would cut off the 600,000 barrels of oil we're buying from Russia every day, putting billions of dollars into their economy. We're financing this war effort by buying the oil from them. Donald Trump had us energy independent. The dementia patient in the White House right now, the first thing he did is make sure we're not energy independent. We are buying that most of our oil comes from Iran, our enemy, and Russia, our enemy. What could be more stupid than that? What could be more demonically insane than that? Oh, we're producing enough oil to meet the needs of the United States and then even have enough extra to sell. And that's no, we can't have that. We got to go and buy it from our enemy and finance their war efforts. This is demonic insanity 101. It's just, it's going crazy. It's like Nancy Pelosi the other night with her alcohol, demon alcohol fueled dance. I mean, Joe Biden was talking about the burn pits where they were burning bodies, and she stands up rubbing her knuckles together with this unbelievable look on her face, like it was like erotic talk to her. Like she was getting erotically, you know, excited about burn pits with bodies in them.
That's a horrible vision in my mind now. Was that before or after Joe Biden said Russia was attacking the Iranians?
Yeah, those people from Uranus. We're gonna stop there. We're gonna stop.
What a What a stooge. Joe Biden is such an idiot. I hope, Joe Biden, if you're listening to me, and I hope you are, I hope someone in Secret Service is secretly playing this while you're sleeping at night so my voice echoes in your nightmares. I just want you to know this.
The best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party.
Absolutely. Joe, just listen to me. You're an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, Kamala Harris would even be better. I mean, you know.
Well, listen to this, Bob. Russia attacks, then seizes nuclear power plant Zaporizhzhia, the biggest nuclear plant in the EU. I want to talk about this. So I was watching it. I know you were watching it. This battle had started from Friday morning and ended Saturday morning. Now, this is what's interesting about this. There's a lot of disinformation, a lot of misinformation. You know, obviously, we're still within the realms of fog of war, and we don't have all the better pieces of the human intelligence and the actual intelligence that's going on. But we know that something happened there. We know that supposedly, and this is coming from Russia now, Russia is saying that they had a patrol that was then engaged by the nuclear site's arms security forces. So they fired upon the convoy. The convoy then came in and fired upon them. There was obviously an exchange of gunfire, artillery fire, perhaps even rocket fire. I know for a fact that at least at one point the Russians did launch a flare in order to see better at night. But, you know, they want to take. They don't want to destroy.
Yeah,
I don't think they would mean to actually attack and blow up a nuclear plant.
No, they would not want to do that. This is the thing. Again, Putin, this is why we say Kamala Harris to stare down the Russian bear, right? Oh, God, can you imagine that? You know, I won't go anywhere where my brain's going. I got to go Christian on my brain here real quick. But, you know, Kamala Harris staring down Vladimir Putin, he's demonically smart. He is a very smart guy. And we're going to send, the guy who doesn't know the difference between a Russian bear and a chocolate chip cookie, he sends his second in command who doesn't know the difference between, you know, a big nation and a little one. We won't go, but no, he does not want to take this power play. He does not want to blow it up. He wants to use it. As all tyrants do, he'll use electricity to coerce.
Yes.
He wants that power plant. He wants it intact because he says, listen, you know, all the food in your freezer is going to go bad. You're not going to keep hot or cold during, the Ukrainians, the Uranians, they probably don't have, Uranus is pretty cold, I think. They don't need air conditioning there. Forgive me, Doug, I have to go take that, I need a little humor. But, no, he wants this plant because he wants to extort with it. He wants to say, this is why I'm going to use it against you. It's like all tyrants use food to coerce. Yeah. The social credit score is done to coerce.
Well, you know? this is what's stupid about all this. Only a fool goes into battle for the sake of beating someone in battle. There is an obvious course of direction. There are obvious military strategic points that he wants captured. He wants to keep them in stake so he can use them as a bargaining chip with Ukraine, because more than likely what's going to happen, Eastern Ukraine, that's right up along the lines of Russia, are going to end up being annexed. They're already almost completely enveloped by the Russian Federation forces. They will more than likely be separated from the rest of their government and be forced to be annexed. But that's also your highest liability of people who will also accept and want Russian troops within their own borders of their cities. Now, going from there, this is when things get really dangerous, all right? And I'm going to talk about something real quick. Oh, yeah, but this is where it gets worse. And I'm going to bring this up, and then I'm going to let you go a little bit further with it, all right?
Yes.
But I want people to understand this, all right? Lindsey Graham is a war hawk, a war criminal. He and his partner John McCain went there in 2014 wanting war, and Lindsey Graham, before he dies, he wants war in Ukraine with Russia. That's what he has wanted for a long time. He is not a Republican. He is a Democrat. He's a rhino all day long. But just hear me out, people. It is only those who have never fired a shot nor heard the shrieks and screams of battle from the dying who then will cry aloud for blood and vengeance and desolation and glory. It is those people who want that who have never experienced it. And for Lindsey Graham to now be saying that anyone within Russia should be like Brutus trying to kill Caesar, calling for the assassination of Vladimir Putin. What in the hell are you thinking? I'm so glad to see America coming on board with saying that the man should be taken out of his political power, because Vladimir Putin is a very prideful man. He's not stupid. He's not stupid at all. For 20, 30 years, we've talked about how intelligent and tactful he is and how every other American president has to learn how to outsmart and outwit him. And now all of a sudden he's declared to be a madman, a tyrant. He's declared to be the next Adolf Hitler, that he's stupid. No, he's been planning this for a long time. Now, they've met quite a resistance in Ukraine, but you embolden whatever lethality that comes from this. If somebody, Bob, tries an attempt on the assassination of Vladimir Putin, things just got turned up to 11.
Let me just go over that, because that's a very, very salient point. We went into Afghanistan. We left Afghanistan as a failed state. We went into Iraq. We left Iraq as a failed state. We went into Libya. We left Libya as a failed state, really bad failed state, because ISIS takes over Libya. Who wants to go? Raise your hands, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to go into Russia and create a failed state, you assassinate him. Who takes power? We didn't think about that when we went and took over Iraq. Who would take power? We didn't think of that. You go kill Vladimir Putin. Who takes power next? And keep in mind, they've got 8,000 nuclear weapons. 8,000. Who takes power? Do you want Russia to be a failed state? I don't. I don't. I would suggest people go to YouTube, and there's several good documentaries about Russian history going all the way back about 1,000 or so years when the Rus people were the founders of Russia. It's a very important thing because, you know, their idea of a fair election is you shoot your opponent. That's how you get elected. Fair and just elections is like, well, I shot him. He's dead. I'm alive. I'm the president. That's Russian politics. I do not want to see a failed Russian state. I'd rather have somebody that's there that can hold it together. And again, he has to use raw, naked, brutal power to hold Russia together. That's Russian politics. That's the way it's been. So with that in mind, we do not want another failed state. I do not want to see Russia as a failed state.
I've said this for a couple of years, Bob. And I like to give people hypotheticals to crunch on to consider what is potentially going to be, I guess you could say, what I perceive to have eventually happen in America. All right, so we're going to think of America as I say this, but it's going to be Russia for right now. Just imagine if Russia becomes emboldened to the point that they want to attack other nations. And then we start to attack them, and then we start to, destroy their economy. They spin out of control. They have a revolution. The revolution turns into a civil war. Political members start to get assassinated. Oligarchs start to take control of police and military, and they create their own states. And then somebody gets a hold of the nuclear weapon silos. Somebody gets a hold of the nuclear cruise missiles. Besides whoever in the hell it is that may have access to the Tsar bomb, what do you think the world would do, America, if a nuclear-armed Russia becomes destabilized? We, the world, will step in, just like Iraq, we'll stabilize it. That means an invasion.
Doug, it's happened. Let's look at what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed. Nuclear scientist, nuclear biological scientist, I mean the nuclear biological scientist, all lost their jobs. They went black. They started working and making stuff for whoever paid them. So we don't, I mean, when you read the book Demon in the Freezer, 12,000 gallons of smallpox went missing during that time. We don't know where it's at. We you can read the book. I mean, nuclear material was stored with a little padlock. We don't know how much of it went dark during that time. And we did our best to try to gain control of that situation. And we hired a lot of the, we started paying the scientists, the nuclear scientists, just to keep, let them get an income so they wouldn't go black. This has happened. And we don't know how much nuclear material or, you know, biological material, chemical material went missing during the collapse of the Soviet Union. We don't know. Where is it at? We don't know. Right.
If they got the if they were able to get their hands on VX gas or Zyklon
smallpox.
B,
smallpox, hemorrhagic
smallpox, yeah, and they use that then on the black market. Everybody buys it. Anyone buys it. The U.S. will buy it.
And then we really do have the revelation where a quarter or a third of the world's population dies. Hemorrhagic smallpox, where they've mixed a hemorrhagic agent, say like Ebola. With smallpox, introduce the IL-4 gene into it. This is all in the book Demon in the Freezer. And you have the most vicious biological weapon humanity's ever known. So we've already,
because
when Russia lost power, lost control of this stuff one time, and that was under fairly controlled global circumstances. We're at war right now. I mean, there's a war going on and they lose control. And you declare Vladimir Putin a war criminal, so he has no option. The generals are all war criminals. They're already saying that. I've watched Petraeus saying the generals are war criminals. What avenue for diplomacy do you have left? None.
Well, and once again, now we have the avenue for regime change in Russia, which means that the CIA and other government officials or government-run entities are going to be in there. They're going to be flipping tricks. They're going to be turning people. And that's where you get your revolutions from. That's where the neo-Nazis came from in Ukraine. And this type of meddling never, ever spells out anything good or positive for that nation or for the world.
Look at the history of Iran. You know, in the 1950s, Iran was basically the oil industry, and Iran was controlled by the UK. Okay? They wanted to nationalize. Iran says, no. Because it was a United Kingdom company that was getting all the profits from Iranian oil. So we went in there and installed the Shah of Iran. Okay? Created a tremendous amount of hate. It gave birth to the Islamic movement we see today. But nobody knows that history because you don't hear it in the United States. Just go verify it, vet it out for yourself. You'll see it's absolutely 100% true. We kicked out a legitimate government in Iran that was legitimately elected, but he wouldn't let the Brits have the oil for free. They, you know, it's our oil. And so we installed a puppet government, Shah of Iran, and then the rest is history. Look at it, another failed state that we got in there. And that's history. It's proof. You can prove it. It's not like I'm making this up. It's there. We're going to do that again. And what's going to happen if we install a puppet regime? You're going to have a massive ultra-nationalistic, that's the way the Russian people are, movement. And it's going to go south real quick.
Well, and then you're going to lose Serbia. Then you're going to lose Belarus. You're also going to lose Ukraine. You're going to lose Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. You're going to lose Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan. You're going to lose all of those smaller previous affiliates within the Caucasus areas that were Soviet Union, because they are still held together by the strongman that is Putin, regardless if they are or are not part of the Federation. They are still held together because of Putin's strength in the proximity of Moscow.
That's the beauty of U.S. politics. Even though I believe there's massive corruption, we still did not have a violent transfer of power.
Yeah.
It was still, you know, all whatever side of that equation you're on, it was still a fairly peaceful, the insurrection they talk about is not an insurrection. We still had a fairly peaceful transfer of power in this country. These people have never had that. They're like I said, the transfer of power in those nations is two to the back of the head.
Yeah.
Cesium poisoning or whatever.
So, having your kids being tortured in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You know, Sean Hannity's rah-rah-rah, send your kids off to die. His kids won't go off to die fighting a Russian war.
Look, I've got my problems with Sean Hannity for a long time, but he's really exposing himself. There's a lot like Maria Bartiromo. She's another one. She's a bought and paid for political pundit by China, and I'll prove that. But all these people, even on Fox, here's the problem. On the right side of the media, they're still trying to nationalize America, trying to get you into the next war. No one can tell you why we need to be there.
We just got out of one damn war, a 20-year war. Listen to this. I hate to read this clip, okay? Steve Bannon played a clip from Chris Hayes, from MSNBC program. Hayes wants a moment of truth, saying the average Russian has nothing to do this, but we're going to put sanctions on them that cripple all Russia, the old people, the children, all that, you know, all of it. Even the people protesting in the street against the war, we're going to punish them. Bannon, the former senior Trump advisor, lamented U.S. and Europe's crippling sanctions on the Russian economy and quoted a Columbia professor who said such moves are a declaration of war. Now I'm reading this right off MSNBC's website, okay?
That's how you create terrorists.
Yes. Well, that's how Hitler came to power. Do we forget history that quick? Thank you. What happened is we had crippling sanctions on Germany after World War One.
Yeah, Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, the crippling sanctions. And so what happened? Hitler comes along, a madman comes along. I'm going to restore nationalistic Germany. You know, we're going to do this. We're going to rebuild. We're going to do that. If we had done the Marshall Plan after World War One and rebuilt peacefully Europe, Hitler would have never came to power. Never. But because the average German at that point has suffered tremendously, and most of them had nothing to do with World War One, had suffered tremendously under economic sanctions, all of a sudden you get a demon-possessed madman comes to power and goes, I'm going to fix it all. And boy, everybody ran to him.
Well, you got to understand that in the context of history, after the Treaty of Versailles the fall of Germany, World War One was over with. They were in an economic depression, much like the Great Depression of America shortly after that time. Now, between the ages of 18 and 35, men could not find work. It was approximately 20 to 30,000 men were completely jobless, which means high crime, which means high body counts of people that are in the prison system. That's already hard to sustain whenever you're in an economic downturn. So what they did is they were more or less telling people that you can sign up and it's going to be like a 15-20 year stint, but you'll get three hots in a cot, you know, you'll get all these different things, and you'll be able to be a part of something.
Listen to this article. Later in the podcast, Bannon spoke with former Trump advisor Steve Coates and kicked off the interview by noting that Hannity, Senator Graham, you mentioned him, and all the neocons are out there and they want to send your kids to war with your dollars. They're not going to send their children. They're not going to send their children. Your children will come home in body bags or come home without legs and arms or eyes or burnt skin. That's what's going to happen. And all because we just don't want diplomacy. The war hawks will make billions of dollars on this.
Yep.
With your blood. We don't need another damn war.
Listen to this. Top Russian military officer, Major General Andrei Sukhovetsky, has been killed in combat earlier this week from what is reporting to be a sniper shot. I have a feeling that that might have not been a sniper shot because of how bad this is going. He was the commander of the entire ground force invasion. If he was doing things wrong or if he was losing control of his troops, do you think he would be assassinated by Putin?
Of course. That's what Hitler did. Remember, his greatest general was given an option. You can have a state trial. The name is escaping me. I don't know. Gosh, it's most, I'm having a senior moment right now. But you can have a state trial, and your whole family would be disgraced. Or we're going to give you a gun. You put one in your head, and your family's okay. General Rommel.
Well, the same thing happened to Himmler short after the failure of Operation Barbarossa.
Hitler the chicken coop keeper. You know, maybe he's a chicken farmer. I won't even go there. But no, that's what happened. That's what Hitler offered Rommel, the greatest general. I mean, Patton had the utmost respect for him. After the assassination attempt, you can have a state trial where your whole family is going to basically go to prison, or we're going to give you a gun with a bullet in it, and you eat the bullet, and your family you'll get a state funeral, and everything will look good. That he took the bullet.
To go along with that, let me ask you a question. Let's see if you can shade some light on this. All right, Zelensky yesterday, talking to multiple different broadcast studios, had about a 45-minute long dialogue, and I want to read this to you because I think that there are some telltale signs. And once again, you know, the narrative is being wrote, ladies and gentlemen. There's a narrative being wrote here for a future invasion. Listen to this. Zelensky says that the Russian Federation military is 5 to 10 times bigger than the Ukrainian, that there are many losses in the number of troops, that Russia has brought a mobile crematorium to incinerate the remains of their dead soldiers, that Ukrainian doctors are treating injured Russian soldiers, and that Ukrainians don't want to fight and kill Russian soldiers, that Zelensky says there are plans to use these crematoriums for later abuses. He says that the Kremlin is hiding the real number of dead soldiers for Russian citizens. How can anyone plan to commit and act such a genocide? And then he also said that Zelensky also stated that if Ukraine falls, then the other Baltic states would be next.
Okay, let's address, you can't believe anything you're hearing right now. Nothing. Nope. You remember the Ghost of Kiev?
Oh, yeah, a video game.
Shot down 1 billion Soviet planes. It was a war game. Yep. It never happened. Do you remember the evil vampire Russians went onto the Snake Island and just murdered those brave people who told the Russians to go blank themselves?
Yep, they're all alive.
Those brave men who were defending the nation, the first thing they did is raise their hands and surrender. Bravery. I'm not mocking it. I'd want to stay alive, too. I don't want to die like that. And nobody did. But they surrendered. And they have video of the Russians giving them food and water. They took them into custody, according to the Geneva Convention, which you do with a prisoner of war. You take them into custody. And then you're obligated under the Geneva Convention to provide the basic necessities of life. You have to feed them and house them. You can't throw them out. Like, you know, we did that after World War II. We took a lot of Germans and just stuck them in fenced areas and let them freeze and starve to death. I don't know if you know that. We did. Eisenhower did. I mean, Truman did. That's what happened. But all these stories you're hearing, I remember I watched these people on TV going, man, those 13 brave men, they gave their lives for their country. God bless them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're still repeating it today. But it's all fake. Never happened. The men are alive. They're proven to be alive. They were taken into custody according to law, the laws of war. And the Russians are smart enough to video it. So they, you know, you can't deny it. They're alive. But, you know, as somebody said, Sean Hannity's had too much Lindsey Graham. You know, they want this war for some reason. We just got out of a war, Doug. Why do we want another one? I mean, again, there are innocent people on both sides. I understand the dynamics of what Putin is facing. He lost more people in World War II than all the other nations combined. 20-some million people died in Russia.
12 million soldiers.
Yeah. Hitler, once he invaded Poland, used Poland to launch Operation Barbarossa. He went in there and, you know, the rest is history, how many people they killed. So, I mean, but I have to ask the question, if the story is true that they're a bioweapons lab, and I've seen documents that seem like it's true, we know we had military installations there. We know we had soldiers. We know we had missiles pointing into Russia there. What would happen if the same thing happened 20 miles south of the Rio Grande in Mexico, that the Russians are building bioweapons labs? They had missiles pointing into where you're at, Fort Worth, Dallas, and missiles targeted there. If they had some military bases there and Spetsnaz were stationed there, what would we do?
We'd invade.
We have to. And again, just to put it in perspective, Ukraine, according to Wikipedia, is the third most corrupt nation on the planet. Now, you can go verify that with Wikipedia. It's there. They lead Europe in money laundering. They lead Europe in illegal organ harvesting, and I don't think they mean like pianos and stuff. They lead the world in child trafficking, or lead Europe in child trafficking. So, I mean,
I would also say, and they lead the world in money laundering to the Clintons. Now, listen to this. Russia claimed, this is, goes back to disinformation, all right? Russia claims they've lost 498 soldiers since the invasion began in the late February 2022. Yet, Ukrainian officials claim, and Zelensky said this, that there is over 9,000 casualties of Russian soldiers. If there was 9,000 casualties, we would know.
You'd show them on TV. It'd be, yeah. You know how demoralizing that would be to Russian soldiers? If I showed you, you know, like 15 football fields filled with dead bodies?
You know what that shows me, though? That tells me that Zelensky is doing his best to make himself look like a strong man, to say, look, we have killed 9,000 of them. Russia won't admit it because they're incinerating the bodies.
If they had 9,000 bodies or even 4,000 bodies, you'd see them on TV.
If there was
coming out.
If there was 3,000 dead soldiers, 3,000 dead Russian soldiers in Ukraine since February 24th, the rest of the Russian military would be forced to go in there and level Ukraine because they are that much of a military threat.
Bingo. That's what Russia does. When they fight when they couldn't beat the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, what do they resort to? Chemical weapons.
Yep.
So they
carpet bombing.
We'll wipe them all. We're going to nerve gas them to death. And that's what they did. I mean, massive crimes were committed by Russia in Afghanistan. You know?
2 million people died. Two million people died.
We can't beat them. We'll just put poison gas on them.
Listen to this. At least 331 Ukrainian civilians have died since the beginning of the invasion, and 675 civilians have been injured. If that's it, and 9,000 soldiers from the Russian Federation, a professional army with night vision, thermal vision, tanks, artillery fire, they have more or less hellfire rockets, they have drones, they have air superiority. Where are the body bags?
Okay.
This is complete BS.
You know how many they say non-combatants died in Libya from the Hildebeest's war there? 40,000. I mean, that's the number that you can verify supposedly in our, you know, war against which we had no legitimate reason to go into Libya. It was Hillary Clinton's, I won't say the word, but it was her thing. Gaddafi, again, another evil, to steal Joe Biden's word, SOB. I mean, he's a very bad guy. But he was abiding by the lawsuit, paying the lawsuit victims of Lockerbie. He would get rid of his weapons of mass destruction. We went in there, bombed him, killed 40,000 innocent civilians, and what they're saying, I can't verify that number, that's what they claim, and left a failed state.
But what did he want to do, though?
That's okay. That's okay to do.
But he did the same thing that Saddam said he wanted to do. He did the same thing that Bashar al-Assad said he wanted to do. They wanted to go onto the gold standard.
Exactly. And that's what Russia is doing right now.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Hal Turner posted something recently, and I've been doing my best to verify this.
Grain of salt. But anyhow, whatever. But again, if that's true, if they're going under the gold standard, I would be, oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, this is the thing. What we've done, Chris Hayes, MSNBC, I have a hard time admitting I agree with somebody at MSNBC. It's like kissing my sister, you know? I just don't like it. But he's right. He's actually quoting a Columbia professor, but it's a declaration of war. Do we want to do this? You know. So, but again, we've talked on that. Doug, I don't know how much time we got left, but I want to say this. I'm going to give a public service announcement. Basically, what to do. So, if a nuclear weapon happens, if we have a nuclear release, first of all, keep in mind a nuclear detonation anywhere in the world is a nuclear detonation everywhere in the world. There's still strontium-90 in the atmosphere. From nuclear tests of the 60s, it's up 70, 80,000 feet, just blows around the planet, a little bit comes out at a time. So, I mean, all those open-air tests we did, That's, you know, you see, you can see a dramatic rise of cancers and stuff like that after all those open air tests we did in the 60s. It happened, especially the one, what was it called? The one that they made a miscalculation, Castle Bravo. And they didn't realize how they put the bomb together. They thought it'd be 5 megatons and it was 15 megatons. You can go watch it on YouTube. And all those South Pacific Islanders, even Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, Bikini Atoll.
Yeah, we actually dropped 3 nuclear weapons on Japan because Castle Bravo dumped a bunch of radiation that way. But if that happens, keep in mind, people are buying potassium iodate. We've pretty much sold out of it. I have a little bit left, but pretty much sold out of it. Potassium iodate are not Superman pills. This is public service, so write this down if you're listening. They protect your thyroid. That's all. They don't protect you from, you know, gamma radiation. They don't. You need 2 things, distance or shielding, to protect from gamma radiation. The more shielding you have or distance, you always want to go perpendicular to the wind patterns. That means if the wind's blowing east, you go north or south to get away from it. It's the only way you can do it. Shielding, so if the government's giving you your bunker check and you've built your bunker, you're good. I'm being funny right now. You know, without a radiation meter, you're not going to know what to have. We sell an instrument, and I think it's the best one. I've researched dozens and dozens of them. It's made by a company called Mazur, Mike, Alpha, Zulu, Umbrella, Romeo. I don't know if you can hear it chirping. I put a little test card next to it. But it alerts me if something's happened. Now, the reason we could detect Chernobyl is because cow's milk has calcium in it. Calcium absorbs radiation. That's how they discovered Chernobyl to begin with. So, I mean, if you start testing your local milk and all of a sudden you start hearing a lot of chirping out of this, we have these. They come in 3 different versions, the 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. The 9,000 is the most sensitive. That's what I have. It also data logs. So keep in mind, radiation poisoning is accumulative. I can absorb some radiation today and it not kill me, but if I absorb that much over 30 days, it can kill me. Just a good thing to know how much radiation you've absorbed over time.
Hey, Bob, can you give the audience a demonstration of what the rad meter sounds like when it's close to radioactive material?
Yeah, okay.
That's the sound.
Hear it?
Yep.
And I can set a threshold on that. So my normal background radiation here is what would be considered 0.008 millirads. I can set that at like maybe 5 rads or whatever I want to set it at. And so it won't beep until it hits that. But once that threshold's met, boy, I better pay attention because something's going on. You don't know when to take the potassium iodate if you don't have a radiation meter. You won't know. You just won't know. So I tell everybody, and you won't know how to decontaminate. I mean, again, the new protocols to decontamination are take your irradiated clothing off, which you have to do, go into a building where everybody else is at, and, you know, maintain social distancing with a mask on. I can just envision this dystopian picture of, you know, 50 naked people in a room, 6 feet apart with a mask on. I mean,
well, this is my breakdown for it. That is the beginning stages of accuracy for proper decontamination. But there are other levels of decontamination that have to go further from that.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. But they're not.
Like this. Don't burn your clothes. You put them in a bag.
Yep.
And tie the bag up and bury it somewhere. Mark where you buried it so it can be later retrieved by people who can dispose of nuclear waste properly. But if you burn it, that heat will drive the particulates right up into the air, and it'll start spreading all over again. Don't burn your clothes. Put them in a bag, and that keeps it. Again, if you want to, a can of soup that's sealed does not become radioactive. It might have radioactive dust on it, which you have to clean off. But let's say hypothetically, if I had a can of Campbell's soup right next to a nuclear bomb going off, and the can was, you know, Superman can, it doesn't get destroyed. The soup inside it has not become radioactive. It only becomes damaging when you open the can and the radioactive dust falls inside the can, and then you ingest it then. So cleaning it, that's, again, radiation meter. You have to have it to do that. Decontamination is all. I tell people when you put a mask on, the hardest part, Doug, you've done it, of using a mask, a protective mask, is taking it off. If you don't believe me, put a mask on, put your hood on, have somebody pepper spray you, and then try to take it off without, you know, touching the mask and touching your face. cross-contamination.
If yeah, that's a gas mask, by the way.
Yeah, a gas mask. If your mask has become contaminated with chemical, biological, or nuclear, you've got to decontaminate before you take it off, or you're just going to, you know, save your life to end your life. Because as soon as you touch that outside of that mask with bare hands or with gloves or anything, you do it. I mean, that's why I keep ammonium chloride on hand. It kills, you know, bacteria. Soapy water will take the chemicals off. But basically, just dusting can take a lot of the radiation off. But if it's in clothing, in the fabric of the clothing, you've got something to deal with. And that's when you do have to take your clothes off, put them in a bag, tie it up. And I would bury it. But again, mark where you buried it so it can be properly disposed of in the future. You know, you just don't want to leave it in the ground there for somebody else to dig it up, you know, unknowingly. That's the problem with, you know, disposing radioactive waste to begin with. In the last 50,000 years, so 20,000 years from now, how do you warn those people not to dig it up? But anyhow, like I said, again, you just do that experiment with somebody, pepper spray them with their mask and stuff on, and then tell them take it off, and probably 75-80% of the people are going to cross-contaminate. A bug sprayer is really good for biological. If you just fill your ammonium chloride in, and you can get ammonium chloride. We sell it. You can get it on Amazon, anywhere. And you mix it like 1 gallon to 30 gallons, so it's a pretty good concentration. And then use a bug sprayer. Military buys exotic bug sprayers, but that's all it is. Spray somebody down, and again, decontaminate, you know, kill the bacteria. And just you give it time. I would do it 2 or 3 times. Spray somebody down 2 or 3 times, 5 minutes in between each spray, and that allows the time for the chemical to work to kill the bacteria or virus or whatever it is. Do that. Ammonium chloride, like I said, you can Simple Green makes it on Amazon. You can get it there, a gallon of it, and it goes a long, long, long way.
You can also go on to, like, government websites, and they will tell you also, like, FEMA, and they'll tell you how to proper decontaminate. Don't go into a lot of these different YouTube sites and these prepper people that are out there that think they know everything but have zero experience, Bob, zero experience in the government, zero experience within these types of operations, and they're giving horrible advice. Oh, my God, I was looking at some stuff.
You know,
horrible advice.
I asked one lady, you know, the hardest part about taking a gas mask off one time, and literally I got the answer, I'll get it caught in my hair. I mean, I promise you, Doug, that's what I heard. No, putting it on, making sure you have proper seal. I always recommend a positive pressure blower with it. Because
that's
if you
a PAPR have a system.
Yeah, PAPR system. What it does is a little motor blows air into the gas mask, turning it from a negative pressure to a positive pressure. If you have a beard, glasses, whatever, it puts positive pressure in there so the air is going out. Bugs can't crawl in. Radiation can't come in when the air is pushing out. It also –
Bob, we have 30 seconds left. Before I give you the final word, I just want to let everybody know American Vindicta is now going to be on KYAH Radio out of Utah. That's KYAH.net. You can tune in to KYAH at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear this same show, where you'll be able to hear me and Bob on Monday. It's already starting, I believe, today. You can call in through 351-999-5116 and listen anytime for free. It's also going to be on Audio Now, Zeno, and TuneIn for you to be able to hear. You can also go to kyh.net to be able to hear it. Bob, 30 seconds. Okay. Let us know what it is that we need to prepare with.
Okay, you can call. I recommend radios for communication, night vision and thermal for protection, and a radiation meter so you know when something's happened. We have all that in stock right now. They can call me at 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. My website is Ready Made Resources, all one word, readymaderesources.com.
Bob, thank you so much, my brother, for this. And if we have any more pertinent information coming up, we'll be reaching back out to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to American Vindicta. This is Doug Thornton and Bob Griswold. We're out of here.
all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will return.